Across to the United States, let's talk to our US correspondent, David Smith. David, thank you for being with us. Good morning.
Hi, thank you.
Let's catch up on the latest with the impeachment inquiry that President Trump is facing.
And a momentous week coming up in the Trump presidency, really. On Wednesday, public hearings start in the impeachment inquiry. The House Intelligence Committee will hear testimony from former top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine and another State Department official, both of whom have already spoken behind closed doors, and we've seen the transcripts and so on. But really, this is the moment of television spectacle where the case against Donald Trump will be put. Basically, that central allegation that he tried to extort, as some people would put it, try to put pressure on Ukraine to investigate one of his political rivals, Joe Biden, and that was the condition. Only if they agreed to do that would he then grant them a White House meeting and also release some military aid to Ukraine. Many feel this is an impeachable offense. They will expect right at the beginning on Wednesday on television Democrats to try and start with a bang to put that case. But we'll probably see Republicans remaining loyal to Trump and finding all sorts of tactics to delay proceedings or to cast doubt or to try and call some witnesses of their own. This is, of course, only the fourth impeachment inquiry in American history, and the most recent two, Richard Nixon and Watergate and Bill Clinton in the 1990s, some parallels, but also, of course, very different eras. This will be the first time we've seen impeachment in the age of social media, people commentating on Twitter and Facebook. The media environment generally is very fragmented, of course, with cable news, some of that quite partisan. It'll be interesting to see if it's one of those moments that millions of people stop what they're doing to watch, or if quite quickly people shrug and move on.
I guess people also moving faster around some of the media because of social media, because of the internet, the 24-hour news channels. That, of course, has all changed since Clinton's day.
Well, indeed, very, very much. I think in Nixon's day in the 70s, you had those kind of monolithic big broadcasters and everybody tuned in. Everybody had the same shared set of facts. Even by the 1990s with Bill Clinton, you had some of the cable news giving different perspectives. But the big difference now is the internet and just this notion of watching an impeachment inquiry with two screens. Sure, you might watch the live coverage on television as normal, but I think in many cases people will be constantly checking their computers or phones, watching the Twitter reaction, seeing how quickly clips are taken and become memes. That will provide a whole different dimension to this.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the Democrats' side of things. It's a fairly crowded field in terms of candidate for president, and it looks like Michael Bloomberg might be tipping his hat into the ring too.
Yes, I mean, the most crowded field ever for the Democrats at this stage, also the most diverse field in terms of women and African-Americans and Latinos. And it had been whittled down a bit to 17 candidates. Some people breathed a sigh of relief that some at least were dropping out, especially with these debates that can feel pretty crowded. And now, however, it looks set to creep back up to 18 candidates again because Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, signaled his intent to dive in last week. He filed papers in Alabama, which has one of the earliest deadlines for registering. There's still some caution around this. Some reports suggesting he's not yet made up his mind. He was just sort of playing safe and dipping his toe in to see what the reaction would be. But at the same time, whether he does or not, one of the ways to read this is just still a a general feeling of discontent that despite that vast quantity of candidates, there isn't quite the quality for the Democrats, certainly not that sort of standout candidate in the shape in the past of John F. Kennedy or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, that the person who has that it factor. And in particular, I think Michael Bloomberg has been moved to act because he's worried about the front runner, Joe Biden, the former vice president, who some believe has been somewhat lackluster so far and getting his tongue in a twist and underperforming at the debates. And objectively, it can be measured. He's not been doing as well at fundraising for some of his rivals. And of course, the crucial thing Joe Biden represents is he's a moderate, he's a centrist. Bloomberg initially decided not to run because Joe Biden was in that lane. But if Biden falls away, then I think Bloomberg and others in the Democratic Party are worried that that will hand the nomination to Senator Elizabeth Warren or Senator Bernie Sanders, who are both on the left of the party with radical plans to shake up healthcare, for example. And some just disagree with that in principle, and others feel that is a way to lose to Donald Trump, that America's just not ready for that that kind of big leap.
That certainly is going to be one to watch. Thank you very much, Washington Bureau Chief of The Guardian, David Smith.